Today's program was brought to you by Bonnie Plants, bonnieplants.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Short and hot with Chef Family. Short and hot with Chef Family.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, broadcasting to you live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Joining me in the studio is producer Anne. Hi, Anne.
Hello.
It's a very special day because we have what I'm calling our peanut gallery. Hey, you guys.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. So listeners have heard me mention that I teach in the food studies program at NYU, and today was the final exam for a handful of students who don't also have to go to work or second class this afternoon.
Awesome.
And Meg's joining us, and it was her idea, and she said, can we come with you to the radio station? I said, sure. So we all got on the L train, and then we all got beer because it is Cinco de Mayo, an American opportunity to sort of
appropriate another drinking holiday.
Sure. So these guys had their final exam, which means I spent all morning eating 18 people's food, and now I have a beer. So if ever there's a day I'm going to burp on the air again, it's today.
You know, I got your back.
I'm like,
I'm going to take a picture of this.
Yeah, take a picture and
send it to everybody. There are like,
here, let's see if like, and like the goal is, here we go.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, this is great radio. Listeners who can't see this,
I know. Waving. Sorry, that was guys.
No, it's
let
perfect.
Me spell it out. Okay, so they all leaned in.
So joining us also is my colleague Kalila. Hi, Kalila.
Hello.
So Kalila brought out to my. Well, so let me set this up. A couple of weeks ago, she puts on Facebook, "Does anyone have a yard I can open? Basically, a biohazard that's regulated by the FAA that's eaten traditionally in Sweden at this time of year."
Oh, I saw those pictures.
Surstromming.
Okay.
So I have a yard, and I like Kalila, and I like what like I'm a say yes to everything kind of person. And so I chimed in and said, I do. So she brought it out with her lovely husband and friend Dan, her husband Judah and her friend Dan, and we had friends over, and we opened this can of fish this weekend.
Are these the photographs that I saw on the Instagram?
Yes.
They like looked Nazi. Like it looked like smelly.
So we looked at a couple of YouTube videos before opening it ourselves.
All right,
and
tell me.
One of them, it was dudes in a... the podcast guys in the bunker or
one
something.
Of them Swedish, yeah.
So it looked just like here. It was like hunting lodge feeling, and they like gagged on air. And I was like, oh my god! But they were inside, and I didn't see the Texas guys, but like they were just about throwing up.
They were barfing all over the place.
So Kalila comes over and she says, "Here it is," and I'm like, "Yes,
it sounds great."
So there's all this like, anticipation, and I have to say, the packaging, the can itself was beautiful. It's like it had it's yellow and orange and
yellow, orange and swollen. Sounds awesome.
Completely like so. Picture a large tuna fish can, but the top and bottom were like poof, so it wouldn't. Yeah, it like rocked when you set it down. So we take it outside. We set up like we put out a picnic table, right. And it was really pretty. We had some aquavit, and we opened this thing, and so we're all standing there like highly anticipating. And I click it with the can opener, and nothing happens. Okay. And I was like, uh oh. So I turn the crank like a quarter of a turn, and it goes and shoots across the yard and like is foaming out of the crack that I have created, letting go a smell that I will never forget. I will never forget. Have you ever forgot, like not changed the water on sunflowers for too long?
No.
How about forgotten a bag of onions behind like your wok in the cabinet, and suddenly you're like, or maybe like a cat died underneath your stairs.
Oh man.
It's like this sweet, sickening decay. That
and then we ate it.
And then
disgusting.
We ate it. Yes. So it has kept Vikings
gross.
Alive for thousands of years.
All right.
So it's like this rite of passage. It's on the list of like things you have to eat before you die. You know, if you're going to be like a real food adventurer.
Okay.
So Kalila made these. She brought all of this like beautiful
traditional
accoutrement. So chopped hard-boiled eggs, diced potato. My husband picked some redbud flowers off of our tree, which are edible and pink and delicious on flatbread that she procured from IKEA and butter. So we open up the can, and it looks like the fish still looks shiny and healthy. It is without its head, okay. And it has been eviscerated. But when you pick it up, it has the consistency of, like, runny egg.
Ew.
And the liquid that it is pooled in is the color of chocolate milk.
Come on.
All right. So the best, there's two good photographs that came out of this. One is the one that I posted of holding the fish above the can that I went on Instagram. The other, I don't think the public has seen yet. Kalila took it of me as I have stepped away from the table and I'm trying my damnedest to not throw up because I can't stomach the smell. Yeah, there it is. So we'll put that up on.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So my husband's father is a direct descendant. He is a Swede, and so under no circumstances would it be normal for anyone to eat it straight out of the can. It's put on this like sandwich or on a roll.
Right.
But we have friends who, one of our friends is like, I'm just going to eat it. And just took like a little bit along with my husband, who just took a little and put it. And my husband said, there's something in my body that remembers this. Like there was some sort of like genetic identity, like, yep, I know that. I know that salty, putrid, rotten sunflower fish flavor.
That's
dead cat.
That's, so cool. That's awesome. That's
so
great.
It's like dead cat that's eaten a lot of fish before it dies.
Yeah, and then allowed to ferment like kombucha. Like it has this like sweetness that I think is what really I couldn't.
Yeah.
So that being said, we had a very adventurous food weekend. It was great. We had a great time.
The only time I ever ate Swedish food, friends of mine got married in Sweden. She's from Swedish descent. And I ended up, like, on our second day there getting, like, crazy sick. It was, like, it was food poisoning, like, on crack. Like,
oh,
it was crazy.
No.
And it's a word that I cannot remember now, if anybody can.
Is it surströmming?
It literally... Is it exactly what I just described? No, but it literally translated to Swedish puke sick. Like, that's just the translation, and you just get that for, like, a certain part of the year. So it means Swedish food. I'm like, all right.
See, under normal circumstances,
you mark in your
delicious.
History book.
Yeah, I mean, not the the pickled and preserved fish is, you know, but it's like... potatoes and eggs and breads and jelly and lingon and
I'm glad you had an adventure.
It was I will never, Kalila, I want to publicly thank you. I will never forget that day for as long as I live. That was quite an exciting trip. So I want to say that I was a little sad because the hashtag Sharp and Hot on Instagram was very quiet this weekend, and I realized I think it's because I forgot to say something about it last week on the show. And so I just want to put out there to everybody, if you are having food adventures of any sort, share them with me, because the pile of cookbooks just keeps growing and I need people to mail them to. So as much as I want to see your, you know, somebody sent me a picture of baked bread that they made. Hi, Oz from Houston, Texas. I think
so
it was Houston. Maybe it was Dallas.
I'll
I'm such
it.
A bad New Yorker. Somewhere in Texas. So I sent him my copy of the Great Outdoors cookbook from Sunset Magazine that we had, because I figured Texas, that's the Great Outdoors.
Cool.
So any baked bread.
Nice.
There's really no rhyme or reason. And I have a bunch of books that have nothing to do with food that I'm really excited to just send to some... Like, I got a copy of Dr. Pohl's Never Turn Your Back on an Angus Cow. He's the, like, TV vet who travels around and, like, talks to... Are you burping
I'm
on air before
guys.
I am?
It's like I'm trying to do like the chest pat and come out silently. It's not happening. I'll let you know though. It'll be loud.
We should just own it.
Well, okay. All right.
So anyway, hashtag Sharp and Hot on Instagram. We really do enjoy seeing what you guys are up to, and I get a real thrill when I see something on there. Like, oh, somebody's listening. That's amazing. The other thing is, we are in the last week of our Kickstarter campaign, and we are within. Hey, Jack, are you listening? Are you out there?
I'm here.
Hi, Jack.
With a microphone.
How far away are we from our goal?
We're $7,000 away from our goal with 7 days to go.
I think we can totally do this.
We can totally do it.
We can totally do this. So what we need is for people to go to Kickstarter. We are, I believe, still the featured story on the front page of Kickstarter as their highlighted campaign, and kick in whatever you can. There's really awesome giveaways in exchange for being part of our tribe. And last week, our show posted late because I got a text message from Jack that said, The website as we have it is literally crumbling, and so
it is. It's not a marketing ploy. It's actually falling apart.
We seriously need you. So if you're someone who enjoys waiting till the last minute, or is like, oh yeah, I'm getting to it. Every time I talk to my brother, I'm like, have you done it yet? Yeah, I'm getting to it. So, Joey.
Now's the time.
Now
Talk
straight.
Also, if you like Sharp and Hot and sometimes say, I wish I had my own Sharp and Hot, you can, for one season, have your own show for a $5,000 pledge.
That would be incredible. Right? I would help someone produce that.
That's right.
They could be sharper and hotter.
Ooh.
I was actually... or almost as sharp and almost as
hot. I don't know. Yeah, come on.
I was thinking, like, should we come up with a name for the people who listen to the show so I can stop calling them the listeners? And then I was like, we could be the Sharpies.
The Sharpies.
And
the
then sharp I thought that's, hotties. Like, probably already trademarked.
Just joking.
Yeah, so.
How about Hotties?
We could be the Hotties. I don't know.
I feel like that's...
I made the joke off how did that start? Oh, about the conversation about gluten. Yeah, okay, so that's a whole other conversation.
All right.
We need to take a break because joining us also in the studio are Chef James Kelly and my dear friend Keith Beavers, who are the owner and the chef of In Vino in the East Village. They are creating a little wine bar renaissance on East 4th Street, and we're going to talk to them after the break.
Awesome. This song is called Kill Me in the Summertime by the Dead Stars. This is Sharp and Hot. See you in a minute.
Could an app be the answer to a better garden? Absolutely. It's the new free app, Homegrown with Bonnie Plants. Note, track, and photograph your garden's progress. Personalize your weather and reminders. Get variety info, grow guides, hands-free dictation, and more. The Homegrown with Bonnie Plants app, the sharpest tool in your garden. Download it free on the App Store.
Welcome back to Sharp and Hot. There we are. Stop looking at your phone, Peterson. Welcome
Me
back
too.
To Sharp and
Hot. I was posting our picture from before.
Right. We're having so much fun here in the studio with my students and my friend Kalila from NYU. Hi, guys.
Hi.
And now joining us, we have Chef James Kelly, who is the brains in the kitchen at In Vino, which is owned by my friend Keith Beavers. Hi, Keith.
Sup?
Hi, Chef.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Wonderful. So, Keith, let's get it out of the way first. I was trying to figure out if you were giving away free tattoos, and then I realized it's not I-N-G, it's I-N-E. And I said, what's free tattooing?
And I said, oh, Emily.
So, this is a Star Wars?
It is a Star Wars reference. It is the... It's actually called Tatooine.
Oh.
It's a quick double consonant.
Okay.
And as pronounced by the one and only Luke Skywalker.
Okay. How did Chewbacca pronounce it?
But Tatooine is where the Hutts live, so down with the Hutts. Job
F
of the
those
Hut.
Hutts.
Okay.
The Hut. Forget that.
Okay. This is so lost on me.
Yeah.
I'm more articulate about football, and that's saying a lot.
Wow.
So, Keith, you have owned In Vino for quite some time, and you and I worked together because you are a consummate entertainer and host and a front-of-house guy, and you bought this restaurant with the dream of revitalizing it and making it your own. So tell me about that. What was it like when you got it, and what did you hope that it could be? And then we'll bring in James and see if he's living up to your expectations.
Sweet. Yeah, I bought the restaurant with a business partner in 2007, and that same year I opened up a little wine shop on Avenue C called Alphabet City Wine Company, and for a good 7 years, me and my business partner had both. Last year, I took the restaurant over 100%. I've always wanted to have a true, fun, engaging restaurant where it's not just about the food. The music is important. The food is the core. The wine, of course, I'm a wine guy, so that's my thing. But I wanted to find somebody in the kitchen that was going to like add to the energy that was happening at In Vino. And I've always wanted to do wine classes. When I had the wine shop, it was, you know, retail is not a very, you'd think it is, but it's not a very social environment.
Right.
I mean, you're constantly stalking, like, hi, how can I help you?
Can you tell me where the Barefoot Cellars is?
You need some Sauvignon Blanc? So I made it a social environment. I had, like, little couches and chairs in the wine shop and encouraged people to come and hang out. When I got to the restaurant, I wanted to take that social energy and bring it into the restaurant as well.
And so you have weekly wine classes.
Yes.
So plug those because they sound super fun. And if I didn't have a 2-year-old or lived, you know, 40 miles out of the city, I'd be there every week.
They're so fun. I mean, you know, the whole, my whole thing is wine. You know, when I had the wine shop, it was international wine, but Invino is Italian wine. But the nice thing about Italian wines are 20 regions, right. And every region is its own country of food and wine. So there's plenty to play around with, but I also like to make sure that I'm teaching people about all aspects of wine on a consumer level, you know. And so every Tuesday for $20, I pop 4 bottles of wine in some sort of theme. So one of the most popular ones right now is blind tasting. It's a lot of fun where people come in. I actually print out the Master Somm blind tasting exam sheet, and we go through 2 of them, and then I leave everybody alone for 2 of them. And this, what I love about New Yorkers is, I say this in the beginning, guys, this is not a competition. We're just trying to exercise the gray matter here, trying to understand the wine. It's in your glass. But literally by the 3rd wine, like, I got Carmenere! I got it! Okay, yes, sir, you won. But it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's about engaging the customer and letting the customer feel confident and comfortable, especially when you're sitting in a restaurant environment learning about wine. You're actually in the place that gives you the anxiety. And I'm trying to strip that away. So every week for $20, 4 wines, different themes. It's on the website. Invino-ny.com.
So I had the pleasure of coming and dining there a few weeks ago with my husband, which is a really rare treat because parenthood. So grandma and grandpa watched James, and we came in.
Not
and
me. That didn't watch me.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Different James. Right, different James. But you have an excellent name, I have to say. Your parents made a very good choice. But we had the most incredible meal. Everything was just perfect. And we sat at the bar, which is something that I really enjoy doing and recommend to people, because mm-hmm. if you sit at the table, it's great and it's super intimate. And if you have like conversation you want to have between 2 people, that's one thing. But if you sit at the bar, you have like the energy of the other people around you. Mm-hmm. Plus Keith was there entertaining everyone. And I walked away with a photograph of the label of the Ribbiola Giallo that you poured for us.
Yes.
I will chase that wine for the rest of my life. Yes. That's one of the best glasses of wine I've ever had.
I think
had.
It's available in Jersey.
The So the guy who I showed the label to was like, he's like, yeah, they're really good. I don't know where to get them.
Really?
But it's like, because we're like warehouse style.
Yo, girl, I got you.
All right, you gotta hook me up. Tell me where I will drive. I will drive for that wine because it was excellent.
I'll make it happen.
And it was paired with courses of incredibly creative and delicious food. So Chef James, you have come from Babbo,
yep.
right? So you have a Italian pedigree behind you, and yep. now you are helming a kitchen for someone who has basically said, and I know all this because I helped put you two
yeah,
together.
You actually, I like saying that I'm on the radio show of the person who hired me. No
match
offense to
maker.
Keith.
Make
but. So I matchmaked these two, and I matchmaked these two, and I just saw in both of you, I was like, yes, this is going to work. And we yep. interviewed people where I saw, no, not going to work. But when you walked in, I was like, that's the guy. So cool. Now you're in the kitchen
yeah.
with basically full creative control. Keith wanted someone to whom he could say, go do.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Exactly.
So tell me, was that overwhelming?
Yeah, it was my first executive chef position. It was something I wanted to do for about past 6 years, so it finally like came into fruition. And the most overwhelming thing for me when I first started was I kept hearing my old exec chef and Mario Batali in my ear saying like, oh, don't do this. This is the way. Don't do this. This is how we should do it. And then after probably about 6 weeks in, I was like, why the hell am I listening to these two? You know, they're not my bosses anymore. So it ended up being a much more creative outlet then. So I try to, it's an Italian restaurant, so we cook obviously Italian food. My grandmother's Italian, so that's where I always wanted to cook Italian food, or why I always wanted to cook Italian food. But I play around with Italian food as much as I can. So the one dish we have on the menu right now is honestly just shrimp and grits. That's really what it is.
So
it's not my dish, it's really my sous chef's. He's from Alabama, so I figured out a way where we can actually legitimately put Italian shrimp and grits on. So most chefs would be like, oh, from your sous chef, I want to put shrimp and grits on the menu. No, it's not Italian. But my idea was, how are we going to figure out how it is Italian? So Friuli is the only region I can come up with that both has shrimp and polenta. So we're calling it Friulian shrimp and polenta.
Is it just as simple as putting the word in the name Friuli in front, or is it like, well, that's, we also use some olive oil and we use
there's some tricks with it, like we're using polenta, not grits. It's a little like different grind. We're using calabrese sausage instead of andouille because calabrese is Italian, you know, and every other ingredient is an Italian ingredient. So
and there are so few, I mean, you guys, NYU students, probably know this best of all, like, because you're all immersed in the actual study. But there are so few culinary cultures that have not been influenced and aren't influenced.
Of course, you know, of course, like, yeah.
You know, anytime I get a... Speaking of that pile of cookbooks that I get, right. Like, another macaroni and cheese recipe that you're going to take credit for? Like, to right. me, it's just like, right. be creative. Like, yeah. You know, like, we live in this globalized place yeah. now where mm-hmm. you can. So, Keith, what are you pairing with a Friulian shrimp and grits?
Well, Emily, I would pair it with a crispy pear-driven light minerality on the white wine, but with some depth. And I would that was a result. That's Rubola Jala.
That's the one,
that's
right?
Your thing, yeah.
I'll tell you, that wine was like tangerines and pistachios, and it was so clear. Like,
and it's from Friuli.
Yeah.
Oh.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah. No, but it's a nice, deep white wine. It has the crispiness. It has minerality. It has the pear fruit. It has the pistachios and the apricot, but it does have some depth to it because the polenta is going to be kind of
heavy.
Super rich. Big, yeah. It's a particular type of wine that illustrates the like what grapes are capable of. I feel like that's what people should drink and be like, oh, that's why grapes are so
yeah,
fucking
Friuli
cool.
Is
it's
a
not
fun place.
Just Merlot and yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Friuli does Merlot very well, does Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and more of the Bordeaux varieties. It's more of a historical thing as a result of phylloxera.
I'm feeling Kalila's eyes burning in the back. I'm sorry, I knocked Merlot. Didn't we have that conversation about Sideways and how Sideways?
Oh, yeah, I pulled up all of. I'm from Sonoma.
Here, wait.
And Sideways came out, and it was like all of a sudden the Merlot market just tanked in Sonoma, and everybody started ripping out like 80-year-old vines to plant Pinot.
Well, I did a whole. I write for a website called VinePair.com, which is a kind of a consumer content-driven website, and I actually did a post on in defense of Merlot.
Yeah, I feel bad that it's like knocking the blue box of macaroni and cheese. It's low hanging fruit.
Yeah, we can knock Pinot Noir now because it's over. Now it's being overdone.
Now it's overdone. So, Chef James, where do you find your creative inspiration from? Where do you look to when you feel like you need some insight?
I don't think I really look anywhere particularly. I usually try to make a joke with the food I'm doing. So like the shrimp and grits is a joke. Over the winter, we did a snails dish, and nobody really serves snails because everybody's afraid of it, especially in Italian food. Everybody thinks of escargot. It's a French word, you know, in demi-glace or in, you know, shallots, butter, garlic, like everybody does. So I wanted to put snails back in their shells. So I did shell pasta with it. And nobody got the joke, ever.
Even when we explained it. Like,
even though I would explain it at the table and be like, oh, I'm so happy you're trying, you know, the snails dish. I didn't do it with shallots, garlic, and butter. I did it with Roman cauliflower and cauliflower puree and gaeta olives. So it was very Italian. And when I was like, oh, how did you get the joke? What joke? Like, the dish was delicious. It's like, I put snails back in their shells. No, you didn't. Shell no. pasta, dude. Shell right. pasta.
You're allowed to laugh.
He also has the risotto sporco, right? That's a play on New Orleans dirty rice.
Yeah, so I do a risotto dish with every element of risotto and every element of dirty rice, which I put on the menu before my Alabama sous chef came on.
Right.
So, and he said it was good, so that's so that ends up working out, you know?
Do we talk about the alphabet pasta?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So on our brunch menu, so we just opened for brunch last weekend. For the first time, so it's we were packed. It was awesome.
Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
Bottomless mimosas
from 11:30 to 3:30.
If you pay with the Cover app, and it's great. Like
Cover app's awesome.
Cover app's great. So this is one of those creative dishes where I love pasta salad, and everybody. It's one of those things that everybody does, like mac and cheese. You know, you've probably been eating it from your mother. since like you're 4 years old. So my joke was like, how do I actually make pasta salad cool? So I wanted to do Alphabet City pasta because, you know, the restaurant's in Alphabet City. So I found a company that makes alphabet pasta for children. So I'm literally making a pasta salad with alphabets.
That's cute. Awesome.
And then I'm going to buy all the vegetables for the pasta salad from the farmer's market in Alphabet City. So that's cool. It's literally just going to be pasta salad. That's great. But it's Alphabet City pasta salad.
Yeah, but it's got some thought behind it. Yeah. That's awesome.
And it pairs very well with our in-house...
Rabolajala? You can't use that pairing for everything.
Damn!
I don't know.
It's the only white wine we have on the list. I don't have any of the white wines. No, but we have this... One of our very good friends and employees, Matthew, created this pretty amazing Prosecco cocktail that we have in addition to the mimosa thing. And it's called Il Mostro Verde, which is, means the green monster. And it's just...
That's a stupid Boston reference, too. I just realized that.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is.
He's from,
Matthew, he's from, you know, yeah, he snuck that time. In without us realizing.
How did sneaky not, dude. Hey, Matthew, you're a sneaky dude.
They just got it, Matthew. Yeah. You're very sneaky.
It's a green tea infused into a simple syrup and then mixed with Prosecco and a green mint leaf.
That'll pick you up on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely delicious.
So good.
And it goes really well with alpha soup pasta.
Well, I went and I was blown away because it's whimsical and it's fun, but it's also really, really comfortable and really, really delicious. And I applaud you guys.
Thank you. That's what a restaurant should be, right? Mm-hmm. It should be fun, active.
Yep.
The music, highly curated.
Keith curates the playlists.
I have five brunch playlists, ladies and gentlemen.
Not
five.
One, not two, not three, or five.
Five
brunch
soon
playlists.
To be six. You like hip hop? We got that.
Nice. How do you decide what you're going to put? Push
it's all about in? The mood, man. Are there clouds crafty. In the sky? is it? What's the forecast? Is it hot? Do you guys, how you feeling? Sun's going down.
Everything is thought about.
Yeah.
Everything is thought about. Okay, so it is in Vito. It is on East 4th Street between. A and B.
B.
Way over there. No train. It's worth the trek.
You gotta walk, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. It's totally worth it. I went all the way from New Jersey. It's totally worth it.
There you go.
And in vino-nyc.com.
Yep. You got all the playlists that are now up on the website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm even putting more up. We have a nice 70s, 80s list that we're putting up soon.
Maybe I should hire Keith on my website. Because these
all
are
the
all
menus.
The things I want to do.
Dinner menu. We have a tasting menu for $55 a person with pairings. We have the brunch menus up there. Everything's on the playlist. the playlist up there. Everything's on the website.
But maybe the food could be called the playlist, too, because it's playful. And like there's something there.
Well, I do have a wine playlist that has songs that actually mention wine in it. Them.
Do you listen to WFUV? They do that every day. They send out tell us songs that have to do with sun, or songs that have to do with teachers, or songs that have to do with... And then people... And on Facebook, sometimes they're genuine and sometimes they're snarky, but they do it.
I will pair music with your food!
Okay.
Pizza playlist
so,
song.
Let's see. And... Oh, God, there's somebody eating right outside the window here, and normally I love watching them. Today, I'm so full, and I have, meat sweats, and I'm just
I have meat sweats.
And he's
rare, you think?
Yeah, he's eating a slab of meat. Oh, God.
And he doesn't even know we're talking about
Nope, no idea. No idea. Sometimes
fella.
They notice when we're all looking. Let's all look.
Hey, little fella.
Happy
thinking
of my own.
He's alone, too.
Is that tea? Is there whiskey in that Coke?
Poor thing. I should give him a card on the way out. Be like, hey, episode 84.
You were our friend inside our heads. Yeah. Whatever.
We had a whole story about your life, bro, and how you found yourself here. And who's on the show next week?
All right. Next week we have Chef Courtney Kontos and also Chef Todd Kelly.
We have two chefs on. It's going to be very exciting.
One with cooking school and one with a more farm-to-table kind of themed restaurant. So it should be interesting.
Can't wait. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, everybody. So when you're done listening, go over to Kickstarter.com. Kick in your fair share. If you love Sharp and Hot, we would love to have you be part of our tribe and know that we really, truly appreciate it. And Sharp and Hot, hashtag SharpandHot.com on Instagram. Show us Show us your weird food adventures. I don't know if this is a Sharp and Hot
listener, but we got a donation from Daniel midway through the show. So I just want to shout out Daniel. Maybe he's a Sharp and Hot listener. I don't know.
Hey, Daniel. Thank you. If you're listening live right now, know that we truly, truly could not. We could not have this show without the support of listeners like you. So we truly appreciate it.
Daniel, everybody.
Be Daniel. Awesome. I wonder if Daniel, he's on his phone.
Oh my God, that's him. That is so long. That's like knocking the glass.
He's like, I'm going to give back.
Give back right now.
And did you get the belch or something?
A what?
Weren't you going to belch?
I feel it. It's coming. I got...
Guys, it kept happening when I wasn't in the talking space and everyone else was talking. I was like, they were kind of like holding them back because I didn't want to, you know,
I find my my upright posture is helping. If I was to do this lean back thing.
Can anyone do it on command? There's not one person in this room that could do it on command.
That's not the Howard Stern show.
I can't. If I actually belch...
My mother can. I'm sorry. I'm getting overexcited. It's 2:30. I'm sorry.
She's so talented.
If I actually burp, I call my husband to tell him because it doesn't normally happen. I'm not somebody who burps a lot. I save it for the air. I save radio gold.
Love it.
Ethan, can you
do it?
Not when everyone's looking.
Right. Oh, he's not good
on cue. Behind my shoulder.
You got burp shy.
Just pretend. It's like it'll kick up on the mics.
And with that, everyone, we leave you with another episode of Sharp and Hot. You can find out more about me on Twitter at chefemilyp, sharpandhot.com, at rebel_milk is Ann Hogan, producer extraordinaire. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next week, everyone, keep playing with fire and knives.
Sharp and hot with Chef Emily. Sharp and hot with Chef Emily.
This program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.